WHO recommends that the optimal cesarean section rate is between 10 and 15%. It's obviously much, much larger than one anticipates should be reasonable.
Australians' cesarean section rate is over double that recommended by the WHO. The number comes from an expert consensus in 1985, which found that cesarean section rates higher than 10 to 15% are not associated with reductions in maternal and newborn mortality rates. But the latest research from the Journal of the American Medical Association suggests otherwise. It concludes this number is too low and says that 19% is the best number for balancing mortality and morbidity. Is this number going to make any difference? Marilyn Ferrer is a professor of midwifery at the University of Technology, Sydney. She questions the methodology used by the study, which has low and high risk women in the data. She believes we are better off comparing like with like and cites a UK study that does just that.
There has been a very large study from the UK published a couple of years ago now. It's called the Birthplace UK Study, which compared low-risk women who gave birth in different kinds of settings. The highly specialised obstetric hospital, a lower technologically sophisticated GP-led unit, midwife-led units, and home birth. And they found that mortality rates differed depending on the complexity of the unit. And there were higher mortality rates in the more complex units.
Professor Ferrer says it would be ideal to aim for the WHO levels, but she would be satisfied with the 19% rate.
I think at this stage it's probably more reasonable to aim for the higher level of what the WHO suggests, which is the 15%. Because we have doubled that rate. We are so far above it, we need to get back to something that approaches the WHO rate. I wouldn't even object if we aim to get back to 19%, which is what the JAMA research suggests. But there's something going on in our system that we are so far away above what's a reasonable rate that we need to think more carefully about what's going on.
But should we even be worried about the percentage of cesarean sections?
I think that the cesarean section rate is a very crude parameter to relate directly to perinatal outcome, particularly perinatal mortality, which is what that paper did.
Professor Michael Permazole is the president of the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists, or RANZOG. He believes that we shouldn't focus on the crude numbers, but rather what women want. He also says the current WHO guidelines are inappropriate.
We certainly think that the WHO recommendation of 10 to 15% is inappropriate for the Australian or the New Zealand context. The issue of what is the optimum cesarean section rate isn't really an issue for health authorities or the WHO or even our college. It is women who determine what the appropriate rate of cesarean section could be for their particular situation.
Professor Permazole cites women who are expecting a breech birth or a second baby after a cesarean as those who should have the option of a cesarean.
There are some women who are particularly risk averse where cesarean section looks to be a reasonable option if they're having a breech baby, that is a baby coming bottom first. You know, there are many women, or most women, will choose to have a cesarean section. Having had a previous cesarean section, many women will choose to not have that small risk of uterine rupture, and many women will choose to have another cesarean section. So I think that the rate of cesarean section isn't really for authorities to determine. It's for women to determine what level of risk they're prepared to take.
This is something Professor Ferrer vehemently disagrees with. She thinks that cesareans could be reduced in this population.
I find it quite shocking in a way that the president of the Australian College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists suggested that a baby presenting by the breech or a woman who's had a previous cesarean section should not be attempting vaginal birth when there is good evidence to the contrary. I find it surprising that obstetric staff who are highly skilled, trained professional people would be saying, we no longer have the skills to deliver babies by forceps, we can't deliver breech babies, and we don't know how to look after women who've had a previous cesarean section birth. I'm surprised that somebody of that standing would be saying that kind of thing.
But are women given the option to choose how they give birth? Professor Permazil again.
It's so important that these conditions are diagnosed as early as possible, and particularly during pregnancy, because a breech is a very good example, because if the baby is coming breech first, then that should be detected during the last few weeks of pregnancy, and there's ample opportunity not only to discuss about breech, why it might be coming breech first and how it might be managed, but there's even an opportunity to turn the breech around. But just say the baby is remaining breech first, then there's plenty of opportunity, usually in the antenatal clinic or in the consulting rooms of the obstetrician or midwife, there's plenty of opportunity to discuss the pros and cons of vaginal breech birth versus cesarean section.
Professor Permazil also says the current rate of cesareans in Australia is not too high, especially when you consider the age, weight and overall health of Australian women giving birth.
No, I certainly do not think they're too high as things stand at the moment. But we would like to have a really healthy pregnant community with the need for cesarean section to be somewhat less. So if there was less high blood pressure, if there was less diabetes, if there was less women who are overweight in pregnancy, maybe if women had their babies a little bit earlier, if the community was more supportive of maternity leave so that professional women are able to have their babies more easily at a younger age, all of these things would lead to factors which in turn might lead to a less cesarean section rate. So the less cesarean section rate isn't the outcome in itself, it's all the good health things that would go with it.
Although Professor Farrow disagrees and is worried that the high rates of cesarean has long-term impacts on the health of the baby.
There are many studies now emerging that suggest birth by cesarean section has long-term consequences for the baby, such as insulin-dependent diabetes, obesity and asthma rates increase in babies who are born by cesarean section.
Though the jury may still be out on that one.
Yeah, look, I think the long-term health risks for a cesarean section baby remain controversial. I think the only suggest is this issue about asthma and the exposure to microbiological flora. That's still research in its early days, and we're still not clear whether that relationship is genuine, but it is absolutely interesting and worthy of exploration. And if it were to be found that exposure, say, to the microorganisms in the vagina were beneficial in terms of future health with respect to allergy, then it would seem very likely that there would be strategies around cesarean sections that might be able to achieve the same benefit without being exposed to the risks of vaginal birth with, say, a baby coming breech first.